All right, I'm excited to be here. When I first heard about the Make America Straight Again conference, my initial thought was something about to happen. And then I thought about Pastor Boyle and I said, you on the verge of something. So I'm excited to be here, and I'm thankful for the honor and the privilege to be able to preach. And really, this sermon, you can have this conference without this sermon. You'd still be fed. It would still be great. And really, I get to preach before the meat and potatoes. You know, I got Pastor McMurtry right before me, Pastor Anderson right after me. This sermon is basically like the gravy, okay? It kind of goes over. So I hope you enjoy it. And I'm really encouraged to see God's people standing up for the truth and banding together to fight against the forces of evil. So look down at your Bibles in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse number 7. It says here, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And the title of the sermon this morning, is Waging War Against the Sodomites. Waging War Against the Sodomites. And the particular verse that I'm focusing on is the latter end of verse number 8, where it says, a time of war and a time of peace. Now look, throughout the Bible, we obviously understand that God has called us to peace, right? He's called us to be peacemakers. The Bible tells us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. But it's not the peace that the world has to offer. It's not the peace that the world defines for us. The peace that he's referring to is preaching the gospel. The peace that he's referring to is that we partake in the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling a lost and dying world back into God through Jesus Christ. That is the ministry of reconciliation. It's not this kumbaya, hold hands with every single, you know, LGBTQ, HIV, STD person in this world. That's not the kind of peace that God is asking for within the Bible. And look, there will never be a time, sorry to break it to you, but there will never be a time when there will be peace this side of eternity here on this earth. You know, we're looking forward to a great day in the millennial reign when we get to experience that peace. Where the Bible tells us that we'll beat our swords and our spears into plowshares, that there will be no more war according to Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 4. And we're looking forward to that day when we get to reap the fruit of our labor here on this world. But let me say this, now is not the time. There's going to be great peace in the millennial reign, but now is not the time. You say, what's it time for? For war. It's a time to go to war. It's a time to fight. It's a time to battle. It's a time to stand up against the rulers of the darkness of this world and go to war. That's what it's a time for. You know, the Bible tells us, and look, I'm sick of people saying, oh, that's not like Jesus. You're not being like Jesus. Jesus is all about peace. Jesus said, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. Amen. And it would do people good to just read the Bible. Amen. Read the Bible. He said, I came not to send peace, but a sword. What does a sword do? It divides. You know, the Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of center of soul and spirit. Joints and the marrow is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible divides. Doctrine divides. And we're not here to establish peace. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to reconcile sinners to God through Jesus Christ. But we're here to make war. Oh, you should not. You, what are you, a warmonger? You know, a spiritual warmonger. Because we're here to make war. Jesus said, I came not to send peace. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know what the Bible tells us? It tells us that we, as God's people, as Christians, we're soldiers. You know, and as soldiers, we're never to retreat. We're never to go back. We're never to tuck our tails between our legs. We're not to be cowards, right? We're not to draw back. The Bible tells us in Psalm 78, verse 9, that the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of Independent Fundamental Baptists of yesteryear, who, though they had the King James Bible, though they had the right gospel, though they had the right type of preachers, though God armed them and gave them everything that they needed, they turned back in the day of battle. And what do we see today? We see pastors who are afraid to stand up for the truth, to afraid to call a fag a fag. Oh, yeah, that's not politically correct. Well, good, because I'm not a politician. I'm a preacher.
Amen.
You know, and the Bible tells us that these people, being armed and carrying bows, they turn back in the day of battle. No, you know what the Bible tells us? That the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back into perdition, but believe to the saving of the soul. So, you know, we as God's people need to not be passive when it comes to this subject. We shouldn't be passive when it comes to the Sodomites. We need to aggressively war against the Sodomites. Oh, you know, that's just a subject that I, you know, don't want to get involved in. I just kind of let them be them. And, you know, I just kind of want to take the neutral position. There is no neutral position. You got to wage war. You got to be aggressive. You got to stand your ground. And look, history is always repeating itself, isn't it? And thankfully, history is repeating itself again, but the conclusion is in our favor. And even though there's battles that are lost here and there, at the end of the day, we've read the end of the book. We win.
Right.
Oh, but there's so many of them. Well, have you not read of Gideon and his 300? Have you not read of David versus Goliath? Have you not read of Jonathan and his armor bearer versus the Philistines? Every generation has its battle that they have to fight. Pastor Jimenez and I were just talking about this yesterday. Every generation has a war that they have to partake in. There's something, there's an issue, there's a doctrine that needs to be defended, there's a stance that needs to be taken, and you know what? God has placed us here for such a time as this.
Amen.
Don't waste the opportunity to wage war when it needs to be waged. We're here for such a time as this. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 11. Look what the Bible says in verse 33. Can I get my water? I think it's around there. That's it right there. Thank you. You say, how are we going to do it? Through faith. The Bible says here in verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, or in this case, dogs. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. See, this is taking place throughout all ages. And God is always looking for a remnant, a people who are willing to stand up and say, I'm not going to put up with this filth. I'm not going to put up with the false doctrine. I'm not going to put up with the wiles of Satan. I want to get into the Lord's army and fight these battles. And specifically, obviously, we're talking about sodomites, dogs, fags, transvestites, everything in between. This is our war. This is the war that God has called us to fight in this generation. And look, there's nothing new under the sun. We just read from Genesis chapter 19, right? And that the filthy story of the sodomites, which is exactly where we get that word from, in Genesis chapter 19. But we also have another story in Judges chapter 19 as well. You say, why did God put Judges 19 in there, even though we already have Genesis 18? Well, when he repeats a story twice, that means it's really important. And he made it very easy for you to find. That's why he put 19 and 19, right? And Judges 19 is there just in case, you know, the people out there want to say, oh, you know, homos, they're only into each other. They're not bisexual. You know, they're not interested in men. Well, then you need to go to Judges 19. And see that these sons of Belial, these disgusting perverts, they go both ways. Go to Judges chapter 19, if you will. Judges chapter 19. Look what it says in verse number 16. It says, and behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even, which was also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah. But the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the streets of the city. And the old man said, whither goest thou, and whence comest thou? And he said unto him, we are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I. And I went to Bethlehem, Judah, and I am now going to the house of the Lord, and there is no man that receiveth me to house. Yet there is both straw and provender for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me, and for thy handmaid, and for thy young man, which is with thy servants. There is no want of anything. And the old man said, peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the streets. So he brought him into his house and gave him provender unto his asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Everything's going fine and dandy, right? He's just helping his brother out, loving his neighbor as himself. Verse 22, now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, please take note of that. You say, who's Belial? Satan. So you know what these people are in 2019? Children of Satan.
That's right.
Oh, you shouldn't call them that. They're children of the devil.
That's right. Amen.
And the lust of their father will they do. Yeah. The Bible says in verse 22, beset the house round about, and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. And he's not talking about, like, you know, what's your favorite color? Right? The man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Then I will bring out now and humble ye them and do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man, do not so vile a thing. Oh, I'm so offended when you guys say that these people are vile. They're vile. Yeah. The Bible says that that act of sodomy is vile. Yeah. It's against nature.
Yeah.
But the men would not hearken unto him. Why? Because they're implacable.
Yeah. Right.
So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her and abused her all the night into the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. These people are wicked.
Yeah.
And look, what's the conclusion of this story? Well, if you go to Judges chapter 20, you see that a civil war breaks out, right? You have 11 tribes versus the tribe of Benjamin. You have 11 tribes that are filled with righteous people fighting against the Benjamites. Civil war. You know, there's a civil war spiritually going on today, isn't there? Make America straight again. What is it? It's God's people fighting against the Benjamites. It's God's people banding together to fight against the sons of Belial.
Yep.
To fight against these filthy fags.
Yep.
That's what's taking place. Look what it says in chapter 20 and verse number 1. So how do they do it? Verse number 1 of chapter 20, it says, then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man. From Dan even to Beersheba with the land of Gilead unto the Lord in Mizpah. Let's skip down to verse 11. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. So you know what the foundation is, other than we obviously understand the word of God? You know after that what we need? We need God's people to be knit together as one man.
Amen.
You know, we don't have to agree on every single little thing, but you know, it helps when we agree on this.
Amen.
And if we're going to win the battle against the sodomites, if we're going to win the battle against the perverts and the reprobates, we need to band together as one man.
Yeah.
There is a spiritual civil war taking place in America today. And it's unfortunate that you have Baptist pastors that are so weak. They're so scared. They're so cowardice. They're not willing to stand up and just preach one sermon against them. Oh, they'll get up and talk about, you know, oh, you know, the gay people. And yeah, we're, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin. I'm not in agreement with that lifestyle. You weakling.
Yeah.
And look, people will come to me and they'll tell me, you've changed. They tell me that you've changed. I'm like, yeah, it's called growth. You're supposed to grow. And here's where you could start, by growing some stones. That'll help you preach against the reprobates. But they've reared back. They don't want to call out the sodomites because they're afraid. Why are you afraid to get hit by a purse? What are you so scared of? Look out these doors. There's like one out there. And he's like, hello, are you the one? He's over by McDonald's. The Happy Meal. I'm not kidding. He's not holding any signs. He's just pacing back and forth. He looks like a transient. Begging for money or something. And you're scared of that? You're scared of the... I was kind of disappointed, to be honest with you. I came for protesters. You know. And then they say they're coming at 11 or something like that. It's just like, I'm leaving after Pastor Anderson's done with the sermon. This is not fair. Why are you scared? You know, in a time like this, it's a time of war. And during a time of war, there's no room for fear. There's no room for cowardice. There's no room for people who don't want to stand for the word of God. Why? Because there's much more at stake than just our churches. It's the next generation that's at stake. And anybody with children, this hits home to you. You know why? Because we're not going to be here very long. And after we're gone, our children have to grow up in this filth. They're going to be here for that. I want to make sure that I do my part to fight as hard as I can.
Amen.
For the sake of my children.
Amen.
What should we do? Well, let me say this. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. What are we to do? Well, go to verse 8. I'm going to work my way backwards here. And just use Ecclesiastes 3, verses 7 through 8 to explain what we should do. Look at the latter end of verse 8. Of course, it says a time of war and a time of peace. You know, it's a time to fight. Recognize that right now is a time to fight. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And I don't go out looking for a fight. I'm not going out to try to box someone. But you know, if the fight comes to us, it's time to fight. If the war comes to us, it's time to wage the war. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We need to make sure, obviously we're not trying to get into a physical confrontation with someone. We don't advocate Christians to go out and be vigilantes and try to put these fags to death. We want the government to do it. I can't believe you just said that. The government should kill him. Hey, Cameron Giovanelli, he should just put a bullet in his head. Oh, I can't believe he's a pastor. He's a filthy pedophile dog who should commit suicide.
Amen.
Put that on the news clip. My name is Delphin Bruce Mejia. We need to make sure that we fight and we're verbal about it. That's how we fight. We preach it from the pulpits. We teach our people the doctrine. And look, maybe in times past there are some pastors that did preach on the homos, but it was a zeal, but it wasn't according to knowledge. You know, it was a zeal that it wasn't according to knowledge. They didn't teach them the doctrine. And look, that's why it didn't last very long. We need to make sure that when we're preaching the Bible, that we're using the scriptures, we're explaining why they're filthy, why they're vile, why they're disgusting, why they're reprobate. And we need to teach our children this. We need to fight it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. We're not trying to fight a physical battle. Why is that? Because, you know, it's not against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. Look what it says in verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So obviously we need to understand that this battle is a spiritual battle. And in fact, that battle is actually harder to fight than an actual physical battle. Physical battle, you just knock someone out, fight's over. Spiritual battle, it takes prayer, it takes Bible reading, it takes holy living, it takes you putting on the armor of God, it takes God's people banding together, staying faithful to God, standing up for truth when it's not popular, standing up for truth when no one else wants to stand for truth, standing for truth when you're being criticized for standing for truth. The Bible tells us, and look, there's people, there's Christians today in churches that just don't want to fight anymore. And I don't know what it is. I've seen pastors that used to stand for righteousness in times past, and as they grow older, they just don't want to fight anymore. They lose the fight in them. In times past, when they stood so strongly against the Sodomites, maybe they believed they could be saved, but at least they just ripped face on them. At least they taught us this is disgusting. At least they taught us it's an abomination. But you know what? Today, they're not doing that anymore. Today, they're weak. They're even trying to bring them into the churches because they've lost the fight. Let's never lose that fight. You say, well, what should I do to make sure that I never lose the fight? Keep fighting. Stay in shape spiritually, amen? Hit the punching bag spiritually, amen? Make sure that you're up to par, that you're staying in the fight, in the battle. We need to make sure that we're continually recognizing that it's a time of war. It's not a time of peace. Go to Psalm 97, if you would. So it's a time of war. I'm going to read to you from Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 again. It's also a time to hate. And look, when is it a time to love? At our church, it's Sunday afternoon. It's on Thursdays. It's on Saturdays. What is that? It's preaching the gospel. Spend a good amount of hours out there, you know, talking about the love of God. But right now, we're not talking about the love of God right now. Because right now is the time to hate. And don't let that word scare you. Look, the Bible tells us, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Now, don't miss this. The Bible tells us here that David, this is a very bold statement. He hates them with perfect hatred. What does perfect mean in the Bible? It means complete. Now look, I've known preachers of times past, they hated some things. But their hatred was incomplete. You know why? Because we're supposed to hate sin, amen? We're supposed to hate sin. We're supposed to hate what sin does to people. But you know what? A perfect hatred also includes hating those who hate the Lord. And what David's basically saying here is he has a complete, mature hatred. He hates sin. He hates evil. He hates those who hate the Lord. And we're simply adding that piece, that missing piece of the puzzle in this generation. We hate sin. Absolutely. We hate evil. Absolutely. But you know what we also need to hate? Hate those who hate the Lord. And hate is a very natural feeling. Amen. Any person who says they don't hate the person who molested their child, you're wicked. Yeah. Something wrong with you. You got a mental disease. Yes. Right. If you don't have some sort of anger or wrath or hatred towards people who want to violate the innocent, something's wrong with you. Yeah. Something is wrong with your heart. Something's wrong with your mind. Yeah. It's a natural thing. You say, I don't believe God hates. Have you heard of hell? Do you think it's like just all roses and daisies? It's just the heater's turned on. It's hell. We need to recognize and stop, you know, having this weird perception that God is only love, but he's no hate. Hey, God is love and heaven is the expression of that. Everlasting life is the expression of that. Jesus Christ coming to die for us is the expression of that. But you know what? God also hates. Hell's the proof. God also hates. Damnation is proof. The Bible says in Psalm 97, verse 10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Romans 12, 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. You know what this is telling us? That a hypocritical love is a love that claims that they don't hate. That's what that's saying. You know, I forgot what preacher said. He's like, oh, you can't say that you love everyone. If you love everyone, if you say that you love everyone, you love nobody. And that's fact. Because in order to love someone, there has to be an equal amount of hatred for those who would even desire to harm them. Go to Jeremiah 26, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 26. It's time to hate. Now's the time to hate. And look, there's a time in my personal life when I struggle with this. I'll be quite honest with you. I didn't hate as much. I wasn't a hater as much as I should be. But you know, today I'm a hater. I hate. You know, they used to say, you're drinking that haterade. I'm pounding it by the gallons. Because I want to hate those who hate the Lord.
Amen.
Why? Because I don't want God's wrath on my life.
Right.
You know, and the reason people don't want to hate those who hate the Lord is because they don't fear the Lord. They fear man more than the Lord. The Bible also tells us in Ecclesiastes, so we said, it's a time of war. It's a time to hate. Hey, it's also a time to speak, not a time to keep silent. It's a time to speak. And look, I'm speaking to those who maybe even listen to us online, but they're kind of like closet listeners. You need to come out of the closet. Start speaking. You're not really in the battle if you're just watching from a screen. You could agree with us, amen. But you need to get into the fight. And you need to speak up. The Bible says in Jeremiah 26, verse 2, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. You know what that means? Don't diminish Leviticus. Don't diminish Romans chapter number 1. Like, oh, you know, the Bible doesn't really talk a whole lot about homosexuality. We should really focus on that, which God highlights. He's placed chapters. Leviticus, you have the book of Leviticus. You have Romans chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3. You have the book of Jude. You have 2 Peter chapter number 2. You have multitudes of verses and chapters telling you about these people. You have enough content to work with. We're not going to cover everything. I'll be honest with you, in this conference. Because the Bible has so much to say about it. You say, well, why haven't these pastors actually said something about it? If it's so all over the Bible, because they stick to Proverbs. Because they stick to the book of John. They basically pass over the weightier matters of the law. They try to avoid the controversial subjects. Because, you know, their Sunday morning sermon has to be this sermon that's geared towards lost people. They have to preach the gospel every single Sunday. Hey, let's preach a sermon on sodomites on Sunday morning, amen? Why not? More people in the church, they should hear it. Bible says to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We need to make sure that we speak out in regards to this. Amen. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So look, there's two aspects to this. You're not only not supposed to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, the Bible says you need to reprove them as well. So it's not just a matter of not partaking of their filthiness, not watching their movies. The Bible says you have to actively and aggressively reprove them. That's the balance that we need to have. The Bible says in Matthew 10, 26, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. So the Bible tells us, get Romans 1, get up on the housetop and preach it. I'd get on this, but I feared like I'd just like either break it or fall off. I just can't do like Pastor Anderson would. Yeah, it's just completely, it'll just mess everything up. We need to make sure that we're speaking out against it. My time is up. I got last point. So we said it's a time of war. You know, it's a time to hate. It's a time to speak. It's a time to rend. The Bible says a time to rend and a time to sow. What does rend mean? Well, in a modern vernacular, we would say it's a time to rip. To rend means to rip. So you know what that means? It means you don't just get up and preach from Romans 1 or 2 Timothy chapter 3 or Leviticus chapter 18 or 20 and just be nice about it. It's time to rend. It's time to rip some face. It's time to call a faggot, a transvestite, a disgusting dog. Call it like it is. Look, I'm okay using the F word here. Because it's appropriate. It's a time to rip. It's a time to rend. go with me, if you would, to this last scripture here. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Let's see what we got here. I'm so sick and tired of them parading this thing around us. You know, it's a time to just rend. It's a time to rend. Sorry about that. They're like, don't sow that. You say, well, you know, what if we don't? What if we don't rip on the fags? What if we don't aggressively go after them in our sermons? What if we don't post our sermons, even if we do? What if we don't rend the sodomites? Look at Matthew 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you.
Right.
If you don't rend, you're going to be rent.
That's right.
If you don't fight back, they're going to fight you and they're going to defeat you.
Yeah.
It's a time to rend so that we are not rent.
Yes.
It's a time to be aggressive. It's a time to hate. It's a time to rend. It's a time to speak.
Yes.
It's a time of war.
Amen.
And I want to encourage everyone under the sound of my voice to make that decision, say, it's time to go to war.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's go to war. Amen.
Yes.
Bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for a group of people who love the Bible and love you. And I'm sure they exhort one another. They've encouraged me. And if there's fear instilled in any heart of any person here, or even the ones who are listening, I pray that they would be inspired, they would be exhorted to take a bold stance for God, for you. Please fill us all with your power and your spirit. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here at such a time as this. May you continue to protect us and use us, Lord, to expose these filthy dogs, these perverts, and help us to have that perfect hatred that we need to have for them. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.